Hey everybody, this is Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols with another Tactical Fitness Report, and today we are going remote. Jeff has his phone set up and his whole system set up there at his new facility. He's going to do a walkthrough of the facility for us and explain how he's using it and everything, and we're going to talk about what's new, what we have been doing in the last couple of months while everybody else is, you know, watching Netflix and doing nothing. Hopefully you're not. But anyway, I want to share something with you. You know when your friends understand when you say something like this, all right? The other day I did a workout, and it was a real easy workout. I walked 2 miles, and that was it. And I told Jeff, you know, Jeff goes, hey, what'd you do today? I said, well, yeah, I walked 2 miles today, focused on some breathing. And he looked at me like waiting for something else, but then he goes, oh, great. That's a good recovery. I've told that to about 10 other people, and about 9 out of 10 saying, what's wrong with you? You sick? You know, so they just don't understand the importance of having a day at least some time in every day where you just de-stress and unwind. And you know, when you're pushing hard, right? Pull back a day and recover. You know, sometimes less is more. And Jeff got it. You know, as soon as I said it, his eyes popped open and said, oh, that's a good recovery day.
That sounds familiar.
You know, so I just want to share that with you. I was over the last couple of months after I did that, I wrote an article about it too. I said, here's a workout for everybody. Everybody can do this, right? Yep. And I've gotten some comments on like, what kind of workout is this? This is a joke. You know, and I was like, you don't understand. You're missing out.
No. You know, you can't. That thing is like, what a weird thing, like that our population that tends to heed our advice or listens but doesn't heed it. We're so good at working hard, right? Those air quotes are like, work hard, work hard. Like, we're already good at that. Yeah. What's really hard, like for individuals like you and I, is it more difficult emotionally to take days off or continue to train hard? Like, which one is the real mental toughness sort of endeavor? Which one is it? Taking time for yourself.
It's hard to go easy.
Yeah.
It's hard to relax. Hard. I mean, it is hard to relax and take an easy day. I have to force myself to do it.
Yeah. You feel like you're being unfaithful to your effort.
Yeah.
Like it feels weird. You're like, wait a minute, this is like below me or something.
But so grateful the day after.
Oh yeah. Days after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until the next day you take the day off. Yes.
Right.
That's the whole idea.
So grateful that my performance is so much better the day after, you know, on day 5 and day 6 of a hard week. You know, I took that day 4 off. That helps so much. And it's an easy day. You know, I focus on my breathing. I do box breathing while I walk. You know, 4 steps inhale, 4 steps exhale. Nice, easy day. You know, but anyway, I was very grateful that there were people in my life that actually got it, you know.
I mean, it's a strength because they have expectations of you, right, for obvious reasons.
Sure.
And I think that's what, you know, from the emotional side, that right there, that perceived expectation of yourself, that perceived expectation that other people have of you, you're like, I've got to live up to that. And you're like, well, the reality is the only way for us to truly live up to what we believe that we are very, very good at and like what makes us, drives us, we have to give yourself time off, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes, folks, like he's saying, you know, talking breathing, box breathing, we instantly typically attribute that to physical rest. But in as much, if not more importantly, probably, is that emotional rest that like, okay. Because you hear Stu going, well, I'm so thankful the days after. Why? Because then you can train real hard. You kind of get back to what you enjoy. And that's what I was saying. It's like, it's a bigger sort of thing. And I think that's what we're always, we're talking so much about the physical. Granted, like that's really kind of our conduit for success. But really, when you listen to people that are training year in and year out, decade on.
And have created
a conversation that ends up happening.
Yeah, this created a system of habits and
it becomes less about the workouts because Stu and I are certain that the training programs that we're putting out, the training that we're doing for ourselves is actually good for us. If keyword is if we are giving ourselves time off.
Yeah. I mean, because one last thing you need is day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month after month is a bunch of high intensity workouts consistently. And, you know, you'll find that, you know, your stress levels are going to be through the roof. You know, you go get cortisol, readings, and, you know, next thing you wonder why you're storing excess belly fat. And I mean, there's some actually aesthetic reasons to taking a day off.
You bet. You know? Right. Yeah. Again, it's like, it really sounds strange. Like the first advice that should be offered to somebody whose goal is to lose fat mass or to gain lean mass is, how are you sleeping?
No. Oh, yeah.
How are you managing the stressful periods in between your training sessions?
Yep.
That's it. Like, cause you train maybe an hour, 2 hours a day. Well, what are you doing with the rest? Like, no pun intended, the rest of your time. What are you doing? Yeah. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Resting. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And just doing things that can help you unwind, you know, not overdo the caffeine and, you know, take some time to breathe, you know. So anyway, I kind of digress a little bit for what we're going to talk about today, but I just wanted to share with you kind of something I've been doing is, you know, adhering to my own advice and, you know, taking the rest day, right, and taking an easy day, but also just sharing that with people and getting their reaction. You know, like I said, when I gave it to you, you knew exactly what I was doing, but, you know, 9 out of 10 people did not. They did not understand.
Yep, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
So let's do this, Jeff. Let's hear about what you're doing. I know you got
timeline, like it's a weird thing because so many people obviously are having to change what they're doing because the last couple of months, the COVID nonsense. But as Catherine and I look back at the last couple of months, although there's certainly points of stress, we had planned on doing this for quite a while. And I've talked about it off and on for years now about wanting to have a place to teach and train outside of my house. Well, it just so happened that all of my time saving money and planning and prepping that Catherine and I were able to, again, through, I don't know what it is, like, so Sornex, for example, and I digress a little bit, is it was interesting to me that they were able to continue to maintain manufacturing.
Nice.
Well, there's two reasons why they were able to. Number one was a large percentage of their business now is flooring, right? So that flooring LLC that they own and operate, that side, the manufacturing side, also manufactures a lot of flooring and rubbers and plastics for hospitals. So it just so happened that their manufacturing side was labeled basically necessity.
Oh.
It's nothing we knew about or even planned or they even were aware of.
Yeah.
So that allowed them, number one, to keep running on that side. Number two, all of their steel, except for their center mass bells, are sourced, manufactured, fabricated inside the United States. So they didn't have to rely on Chinese steel to get products sent in. Now, there were some manufacturing places that had a hard time, you know, getting the quantity of steel that they needed or whatever. But this is all in summary of like, man, how did you guys were able to do this? Mm-hmm. And then thing two is like a lot of universities, a lot of pro teams, this, that had potential orders in, but the way that that system works in the government, it's like, hey, make it for us and we'll pay you on the back end. But because we had been saving our money for 3 years now to do this, we were able to pay for it up front. Get right in the line of manufacturing, and we were able to get our equipment. And shoot, man, like it was only like nine to ten weeks.
You did a great job. I mean, I've kind of let you go and let you do your thing, you know, haven't bugged you. Hey, Jeff, you gonna do a podcast, you know, because I knew you were busy. Yeah, you've done a great job with everything. I mean, that's not an easy thing that you're doing from the administrative side to the actual physical. Movement of it.
My patience in the past, as everyone's probably well aware, was really shitty. And that was the thing too, is this was a real opportunity for Catherine and I from the business side, for me as a coach and a inpatient person to trust in the process. Like we say that, right? Even in your own personal life, is like, trust in the process, the product will come. I wasn't worried about the product quality. Right. It wasn't not worried about the location, not worried about those sort of things, some of the little things. But, you know, the whole point of this is this soliloquy is that we wanted to make a place where the tactical population really has a place. What I mean by that is more of a 30,000 foot view is it's not a gym in the sense that people can come in and out. We're not ready for that. I'm not ready for that. I've already been down that road. That's not what brings me joy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a gym owner. So we set this up as a place that, like a schoolhouse, really is what it is.
That's awesome.
I'll walk you guys through here. We have 6 racks. We have a bunch of other equipment. And every single piece of equipment that we have in here, for the most part, has a real purpose within the tactical population. Jeff, what's the squat rack? Squat rack is a squat rack is a squat rack, kind of. But the purpose we have behind it, the way it's configured, everything is focused around that individual. So, because we do, that's what we cater to. We cater to the tactical population. And just like Stu does, it's like we don't say we're going to do something, and I don't spread myself thin with, you know, we got asked this week to do a podcast with a fitness celebrity. No, that's not what I do.
Yeah.
Right. They wanted to do it in a bar. Like, first of all, no, I don't condone that behavior in that sense of, like, especially the tactical population. Secondly, I'm not a fitness celebrity. I don't want to be associated to them. What I want to do is teach and educate and help people just like you do.
Sure.
So that is what this facility represents to us. And so I'll kind of give you guys, just, I know for those of you that are listening, this gives you an opportunity to get your butt over to YouTube and check it out. Right.
there you go.
So we'll kind of give you that shot here. I'm holding onto a tripod so I can get a better angle. So notice this is one of the 6 squat racks. We have a monolift attachment to it. Right? There's reasons why we have a monolift.
Those are
if
great.
People are unstable and can't walk out, right? When you unrack this particular device right here, when the weight, it'll swing it out, right? When you unrack the weight, the bar will fall away and you can squat in place. Because if you notice, all of my squat racks, we did half racks because I personally don't like squatting, and I don't think you should squat inside of a squat rack too much. Most people feel too confined and they're going to limit the range of motion.
Yeah.
So all of our squat racks are external.
Yeah.
So the second piece, I know Jeff's flying right over by. The second one is it's Cal Deets, it's a triphasic program for accelerated plyometrics. We have triphasic bars on this rack. So we have 6 different racks. They're all different configurally, and they can be changed and modulated into some things. So that's kind of an overview of that. Same squat rack here. Like I've said before, I'm a huge proponent of using a decline bench press, specifically for people wearing body armor, serratus improvement, lat engagement, those sort of things, staying away from the shrug when you press. So we have a really stable decline here that we can move up and down, move around the gym with dumbbells, barbells, those sort of things. Nice. You can see some other squat racks in the distance here. These two have the new jammer arms on them, right? These arms move up and down. So you can deadlift from them. You can clean and jerk with them. They're not just stationary where you can only press.
You can push, so you can pull. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, you can drop them all the way to the ground. Like we had the Chesapeake SWAT team in here last week or 2 weeks ago. We're doing RDLs.
Nice.
So again, you can really quickly move the weight around, those sort of things. And that's what just goes to the turf. We got a few other pieces that are still coming in. We're waiting on. Here we have, again, Sornex's leg press. And this one's so great because the bench right here goes so low, right? So you're not really curled up in this seated, really very narrowly seated position. But also too, it's great because you can attach bands to it. It's free weight, but on the underside as well, you can kind of see in there where the bands can attach to those loops. They go under the seat.
Oh, neat.
So again, just for varying resistance, there's a lot of the stuff that was already in my garage, but I just couldn't, I didn't have access to it. Got to fly over here.
Oh, you're fine. That's good.
So we have the Concept 2. I'm a big fan of the Skier.
Oh, yeah.
Again, for that lat engagement. We have the Trueform. We're going to move the Trueform back against the wall, but we haven't done it yet because we're going to have mirrors lining the hole. Anywhere there's white, there'll be basically mirrors. So again, we can evaluate our movement patterns. We'll have it at the end right here. The whole end of the turf is about 88 feet long. So that way, as you're working on movement patterns, you can see yourself in the mirror. We can make objective measures and see, like, hey, do this, move that, don't do that, and so on. And this is kind of all the stuff that's in my garage. And also, I'm a huge, huge proponent of walking lunges. So we have the yoke right here on the side that I'm always doing walking lunges, do my sled work. And also too, when we do like PST type clinics here in the future, we have this big open turf space and we got the pull-up bars right on the side, dip bars, everything's right here for body weight stuff. Yeah. And the inside we have, again, I still think is Matt Wenning's belt squat, which is just an amazing tool.
Genius.
That's just a fantastic piece of gear. And also too, I always say like every tactical population should have a Frankenhyper. So it's essentially a reverse hyper with a back extension built into it.
Right.
So some guys have seen this. So again, you can do reverse hyper, all these sort of things. I actually have this up here because you can actually bicep curl from it too.
Oh,
creature curl from it. Damn. So again, that's why I like Sorenex so much, is because it's so modular. We have all the weight dumbbells and all those sort of things. The last couple pieces of equipment. This is one of their newer ones, the Sorenex made. It's a supported chest row, right? Or back, it's a row, but a supported chest. So we can add bands to it. The handles on this thing right here are pretty awesome. So you can go in and you can turn them what angle you want. So you can do narrow rows, you can do wide rows, whatever you want to do. That's a big one. And then this is a piece that Dana Santis developed with Sorenex. So it's called a mobility bench. So there's a ton of stuff you can do with it. Hip thrusters, so tons of band stuff. You can do a bunch of yoga movements on there because everything is modular and you can stabilize.
Oh, that's neat.
So that, I think, for the tactical population, I agree. It's like, hey, let me get one of those. Let me work through it with the tactical population, because I think that in a limited equipment environment, you know, that's why we say use bands, use TRX. It's like not everyone's going to be able to fill their gym space or their personal workspace with it. But this, I really do think, right, I do spend a lot of time on that, a lot of mobility stuff on that. And I can't think of anyone better developing some of the Sorenex for air quotes mobility.
Sure.
So, and then just on the side here, I have my competition bench press. Why? Because it's fun. And I love the bench press.
Me too.
Anyone should learn to stabilize. Yeah. And then kind of the last piece, as far as the gym, again, I mentioned turf. It's about 88 feet long, like I said. Plenty long to do all the sled work that I want to do, all the lunging and all those sort of things. And then this space right here, the big end right here, it's like a big square area. This is going to be the meditation area. This is where Catherine will be teaching it as well. I'll be definitely taking part in as much meditation as I can when she's doing the teaching. And we still got some configurations. Some mats are going to go up. We're going to have a projector that's going to drop down, so we can project onto the wall. So this is really going to be set up as a classroom. And that's, you know, the rest of it's just office space, some bathrooms and things. But this is something that I've been wanting to get done for quite a while. And then really is since Catherine came on board, is as my better half, but also as my, you know, business manager. She's been managing fitness and training for a long time. She has, on a big scale. And she was came in and just instantly cleaned up my craziness. So now we're really, that's what I think, that's such a big part of my patience, is such a big part of me being able to get to this point, is trusting somebody who trusts you, you know, like cares about getting things done right.
Nice.
And that's what she's like, get it done right. Don't waste your time. You know, you'll regret it. And so we've been able to do that pretty efficiently. And so we're right now, you know, we have some in-person training dates that we've already advertised. We'll have a first group in here soon, official group we've had in here. Like, we had some of the Chesapeake PD. We'll have some here tomorrow again.
Nice.
And that's our demographic. That's what we want to train. And we'll definitely have you down. I already talked to Hunter Chernesky, potentially coming in August.
Sweet.
Doing a run targeted clinic, but we're still working the details on that. The swim stuff you and I talked about a little bit yesterday. I got in the lake yesterday, which was, I really think we might be able to pull that off. Really, it's high, super nice. So lots to come. You know, like we quite frankly not even quite sure what we can do in here yet, because we've been working out of a 600 square foot garage for almost 4 years.
Yeah.
So now we're at 4,800 square feet of this.
Nice.
It's, you know how it is, like, you get in like a small confined space, like you see like in a hotel or something, you get into doing a set, you just got to stand there.
Right.
Like, wait, and I just have that anxiousness to get going on. Now I feel like I can train guys, keep them moving, I get them the drinking fountain, keep them moving in between, and they're just not just stagnant. So that's one thing we're really looking forward to is getting people spread out, getting multiple coaches in here, get more coaching positions, and getting them through. A lot of time saving for them too, because it's like if you're teaching a group how to back squat and you only have one squat rack, that poses like a lot of monotony for people that have really paid for time. So now it's like, okay, I can get 7 people in here at 1 point squatting.
Oh, nice.
10 to 15 people deadlifting, those sort of things. So that's what we're looking forward to doing.
So how are you implementing this new facility with what you do online now? Is this going to be a coaching, online coaching? Because not everybody can make it to you. So are they able to find you, by the internet?
Yeah, so there's kind of two parts to that answer. The first part is it'll be an improved continuation of what we were already doing, is providing video content that marries up to the programming and just the context of good training. Well, now we can do that better. We can do that much better, better space, good, like better, not better equipment, but equipment suiting a bigger space. Exercise variety can really be improved, especially from a dynamic power standpoint.
Sure.
We really can capture those dynamic power movements in this space. We've already started doing that. Again, quality video is higher. We're going to hire other videographers to capture things. So caveating to the question kind of you're asking is like, okay, so we are planning on doing clinics and seminars and those sort of things in a capacity that we're not quite sure, because we haven't done it yet. We will be capturing content from those things. Will we have like a live sort of feed? Maybe in the future, we might be able to like set cameras up and do a live feed into the seminar, but all we're able to know to do for sure is capture some of the content at a very high quality to make it available on the website for the members.
Nice.
That's going to happen outside of like, hey, this is the barbell back squat, film it. Because a lot of the coaching minutia that people really do pay for when they come see you and I is that interactive, hey coach, what about this issue? Like, how do I fix this? Or here's my problem. And it becomes a dialogue. And you're able to capture that 3 to 4 to 5 minute piece of dialogue for this athlete, and you share that with the population. Lots of light bulbs come on and go, oh, I got that same issue. I had the same problem. That answered my question. And it creates that cascade of knowledge. And that's what we're hoping to capture initially, is like those coaching moments, those conversational moments between even you and I, or like Hunter comes in and like we have a cameraman that's just filming it. And then we go back and he's like, oh, that 3 minute segment was gold. We just splice it, edit it, plop it on and label it according, like how to improve or do this or maybe we just have we end up sitting on the couch in the office space having a conversation about sleep. And all of a sudden we're like, man, that was good dialogue. Well, we got it on camera.
Yeah.
Now we can put that out as content. And so that's kind of the hope.
Because you had mentioned before we started airing is that this isn't really a gym. Under the state of Virginia, you're not licensed as a gym. What is it exactly licensed as?
Yeah, so we didn't want it to be a gym, fortunately, either. So what it did is it gave us really unique opportunities to find locations we wouldn't otherwise be able to occupy. Because of our proximity to the Air Naval Base, and because of our proximity, because it's a crash zone, noise ordinance, those sort of things, you can't congregate in this space. Hmm. So it's perfect. Even if I wanted to have a gym space, the city wouldn't allow it, right? They won't give me the license to operate a gym in this perfect space. So it's awesome. I don't want a gym space. I don't want memberships. I don't want to deal with the paying fees each month to be a gym or a spa. And then the annual, like the nightmare that gyms have to do in this state to qualify as a gym space.
Oh, yeah.
It's absurd. Like you have to submit every year. For example, every year you have to send them an updated copy of what your membership, like, guidelines are. When they sign a waiver, you have to have an example of that. What your membership breakdowns are, what your revenue is based on that breakdown, and then off that breakdown you get taxed. And you're like, I don't. Now it's just we are actually zoned, which is just because from a revenue standpoint, our business is online. This is an online consulting place. That's what it is.
And so a studio.
Exactly what it is. It's zoned as like a video studio because what we're doing is filming content to put on the membership website. Because like you said, not everyone can make it here, especially right now.
Sure.
Like right now, it's like certain states are shutting down again.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we have a location that we can keep up with the demand of high quality training from a satellite position.
I really do think this is like, at least for the near future. I don't know if that's a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever. This could very well be the standard of what fitness centers have to do, or they go bankrupt because no one's going to them. Right. You need to have that educational piece, that video content. I have one local here that they do Zoom workouts throughout the day. Yep. You know, and
see, that's the thing is people are probably doing it. You like at some point, certain tactical institutions are going to, and Chesapeake's a perfect example. They have their own weight room. It's all Sornex, right? So I'm able to go there even throughout all this COVID. I was able by authority of the mayor and the chief of police has authorized Catherine and I to go there on a weekly basis to train their athletes, their officers.
Yeah.
Because the history we have. And so it's like, okay, well, they have a training place. The fire department does. So you're going to have these tactical spots that might have a couple racks. Well, how do you improve upon a space that you can't expand or bring in a huge group to? Create online dialogue. We'll be set up to do larger groups and scenarios at times, which is perfectly fine. We can do that. We can bring in 10, 15 people at a time for short periods of time, especially off hours where we're going to do like a PST clinic, which is what we're trying to get in. So it's like, how do we do that? Well, maybe we do it over 2 days in two different groups. So you don't have 30 people in here. I don't want that either. So that's the thing is like, we're not trying to manipulate the system. We're just looking at going, well, like this is working out pretty darn good because we want intense training and not intense in the sense of, intense, like, focused, finite. Let's let people ask all those questions. Let's answer as many as we can in a small group setting so that small group learns. And you know this. It's like when your group that trains with you, when they're plugged in, man, they all that energy feed off each other. And that's what I missed. That's what I missed being like a coach.
Yeah.
I missed my previous gym space where I had my group of guys that I had every single day and you can monitor their progress and train with them. We couldn't do that at my house.
Sure.
So now that's the focus. Like, how do we get back to that coaching? Like, it's the small clinics, the small PST groups. And that's what we're working through right now. How to implement that safely, how to implement that within the guidelines of the madness, right? But also within the confines of what I'm passionate about. Because, like I said, I'm not in the business of fitness. I'm not in the business of doing large this. And I don't need an auditorium. Right. I love this, man. I love what I do. It's super cool. I'm super fortunate that I get an opportunity to work with so many good people.
Yeah.
It's the same with you, man. It's like, you know it. You know what you've got. You know who you serve. You know what you're about. You're just trying to be you.
Yeah.
And you're trying to help as many people you can because you know what you're doing is good. And that's all I'm trying to do is find a space to do good.
Well, you've made an effective use of your time during a time when most people are stagnant. So bravo to you, both personal, professional growth during COVID. That'd be a good title for this one.
There you go. And a new book. So we can't leave again.
Oh yeah. I did
your new book.
Yeah. I gotta go over here. So yeah,
talk about perfect timing.
Yeah. Perfect timing. Yeah. I wrote this. I started writing this 6 months ago. So, you know, with a publisher, it takes a lot of time, goes through editing process. In fact, I was still editing, you know, a third edit probably 2 months ago, I guess. And then they finally took it to the printer. But it's 101 best pyramid training workout. So I had to get pretty creative with this one because I had about 50 that I was pretty solid on just from the history of workouts, from, you know, PT workouts to mixing in kettlebells and weights and then using them for running, using them for swimming, you know, different varieties of methods to do that. So I got pretty I started specializing some of these pyramids with the actual fitness test that you're training for. So for instance, if you're doing the Murph, you know, 1-10-1 pyramid is a perfect 19 set way to break up 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats. You know, it's not overdoing anything. It's a good way to kind of progress into that kind of volume. You know, we use them for warm-ups. We use them for cool-downs. Like I said, running and swimming, we're mixing in weights with it. Usually we'll do calisthenics on the front end going up, and then we'll do weighted versions of all those exercises on the back end. So there's some weight act to, you know, and this way you kind of, you do a, you know, basically a reverse ladder. 5-4-3-2-1 is a great concept for, you know, getting heavy. Let's see. There's, the new combat fitness tests that are out there, and all the fitness tests, I created personalized pyramids for all those tests, whether it is a deadlift and a knee up, and you have to travel there by dragging a sled. I mean, there's some things that you're going to need to be able to do that, but you can make a pyramid with that, you know. And the cool thing about the pyramid is, what I've always loved about it is it has a warm up, a peak, and a cool down all built into it if you do the pyramid. So yeah, that's what I've been working on. I started this about 6 months ago, and it just came out last week. I just got it in the mail from the printer.
Is it available on Amazon?
Yeah, it'll be on Amazon this month. And I actually got it before Amazon did, so they should be getting it this week as well, selling it. And I think there's also an ebook version on Amazon. I don't own the electronic rights to it since it's a published book. So they have a Kindle version where you could look at these things on a Kindle app, and looks pretty good. You know, it's, you know, basically it's a workout on a page, you know, about 100 page workout book. And, you know, just, there's no pictures in it. You know, there is an app that you can go to that gives you all the pictures of the exercises if you need them, you know, and it's a free app. But yeah, it's just workouts, and it's an a la carte system. So it's not a program, which I like. Tactical Strength over here is a program, you know, where it takes you through a process. This is kind of like, you're looking for a workout to do on an upper body day, try this. You know, you're working for a swim workout, try this. You know, if you're into making your own workout, some people just don't have time to do a 12-week cycle. So they're already on a cycle, but you can kind of throw some new ideas in there if you wanted to, and it kind of shows you how to do that. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. So haven't been letting the grass grow under me either, like you.
No, and I think that, like, I think, I guess the rule, like the moral of the story to me is, like, regardless of COVID, regardless of whatever, progress is what I think for most people is what, well, at least for me, if I feel like I'm progressing, I don't feel stagnant. Depression is not an issue. Like, stress really is pretty mitigated if I'm progressing. And I think that's the big thing too, is, and they come in a bunch of different ways. And you didn't write the book in lieu of, right? You didn't foresee anything. No, it was just what you were going to do because there was a need.
Yeah.
You saw a need for it. You filled that gap, and you took your time, right? You filled the gap with that information, that knowledge, the book, to fulfill that gap. Same here. It's like, my head and my being and my soul, I'm like, man, I just miss, and it's okay. Right? I miss coaching on a different level. I miss having small groups. I miss being able to do that. I miss having a place, honestly, away from my house.
Yeah.
Where I could separate the two.
Yeah.
And so that's why this came about. This came about just to fill in. I feel like there's a need. There's a need in the tactical population, because there's only two places now that I know that is serving our tactical population as a priority, and that's you and me. Now, that is no way to degrade. There's a lot of great coaches out there serving, you know, Matt Winning and guys like that. Like, but his background's expertise is still going to always draw world-class powerlifters.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to take some of his time.
Yeah.
Right?
He's my super time, strong. Oh, my God, that guy's strong.
Crazy. You and I both want our time to be offered in service to the tactical population. And that's why this gym space, we'll call it, exists. the studio, because I feel like there's a real need, especially now, man, craziness.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy, but like I said, the goal here is, you know, just keep moving forward. Like you said, progressing, you know, it really is the key to just progress, you know, growth. It's the key to being happy, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, you really got to challenge yourself and come up with these ideas and goals and just get them done.
Yep. So, there is no, for us, it's like, there's no, I made it. Right. And then not in a sense of seeking something tangible, but it's like, well, could I, you and I both, and this is not an ego statement. This is just, I think, a truth statement to probably for the next, you know, 6, 8, 10 years, you and I could not change any programming, any information. And because people are constantly wanting to get into these tactile spaces, we would have the information there for them to receive and live our lives and monetize it.
Sure.
But that doesn't fulfill me.
Yeah.
Same. Right. Yeah. And it's like, why, like in the sense of CQB or skydiving, why not constantly make it better, right? Improve upon what can be improved upon as advancements or knowledge improves. That's what this represents to me. This represents my, now I have feel like, because of Catherine specifically, I now can mature in a new space and grow with it. It's not the other way around. Like the equipment is useless without my knowledge, but I feel like I can't grow without it.
Yeah.
It's pretty mutually beneficial. So it's like with you, it's your writing and you're training your groups. It's like you are, I'm certain, even the last couple years, the way in which you train the groups that train with you haven't changed. They've improved.
Yes. Yeah. I would say, yeah, every year, if you're not getting smarter, you're not trying. But here's the deal, you know, when you are training groups like you are doing and I'm doing, is that you always have the new guy that shows up, that you have a system that you can put them on that works, but everybody's different. You know, everybody's going to have a different weakness, a different strength. And, you know, there's answers to those. Right. And we've seen a lot of those issues, you know, and whether it's knee caving or it's, you know, not proper form on lifting, not proper form on running, technique with swimming, you know, all of these things, you know, have a progression to them. And, you know, if I can get a patient person coming in there and just giving me their time, you know, I love it. We can get through anything, whether it's a 17-year-old kid who's never lifted or a, you know, a D1 athlete that's never swam before. You know,
yeah.
We can make it work. You know, it's just,
and that's
it takes
that's
time.
A cool thing, because that's that in part highlights really what Ennis Glass kind of piece about. I was like, I miss is this is like, we'll use Stu as the example. Is like, let's say he's got a body of 10 guys that he trains regularly. You know, 2 or 3 of them go away because they are finished with the pipeline. 2 or 3 come in. Now you got 6 or 7 guys that have been training with him for weeks and months. Their movement patterns are efficient, acceptable, and evolving, right? Their technique is good. Their work ethic is all these things. So you bring these 2 or 3 new guys into this system where they look around and go, I've got to work to that level.
Yeah.
And it's, you're always have this group of fresh people coming in. But because your training is so efficient and concise, you're not having to reteach anyone. You're assimilating these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. And you know, one of the cooler things about everything is that, you know, they get to know each other. They get to be each other's social group, you know, support group. So, you know, they help each other with discipline, everything. But it also, you know, half of all this is seeing it is believing it. You know, they have a guy that have shipped off in front of them. They hear them making it through Hell Week. You hear them going to SQT. You hear them going through the pipelines of whatever Spec Ops program. And then they get in their heads, you know what? I was hanging with him pretty good on everything. You know, it takes away that impossibility factor that a lot of people unfortunately have to go, you know, into these jobs with. Either they think it's impossible, or they just don't care and they're going to do it anyway because they have, you know, the perfect love, you know, the perfect motivation, and they're willing to die first, you know, they're just willing to, you know, give it all, give it their all. You know, sometimes that comes ingrained, but sometimes, you know, if you have some doubts in your abilities, seeing it is believing it. And I think, you know, that's why I think I love group training the most. You know, I tell people all the time is that, you know, these are the exact same guys that I hung out with when I was training 30 years ago or more than 30 years ago. Yeah, about 30 years ago. And they're just different faces. Same conversations, same conversations, just different faces. And it's just a fun world. So.
Yeah, and as long as, and I'm sure you do, as long as you see yourself in part in some of these individuals, right, that is enough rationale for you to go, well, I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
You know, too. Like that's all I miss about it, is just like having people come in with strengths and weaknesses and go, I know I can help this person get past that.
Oh, yeah.
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 So
anyway, that is what we have been doing the last several weeks of this crazy time in our history. So what is the name of this facility, Jeff?
Is it still just it's Performance First LLC?
Okay.
Really, it's kind of like
just part of your website.
It's just, yeah, like it's just nothing. That's the thing. I think that's also what helps us move the ball forward a bit. It's like nothing's really changed. We've just upgraded to a different facility, different classroom, like more toys, more tools, and the same message. And it's like we may have this conversation in a year and go, well, I'm totally doing something different, because if the need is there and my desire to fulfill that need is there, then we'll change. You know,
nice.
I'm not married to my methodology.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm just dealing with physics and physiology.
Yeah, you know, keep up with that. Yeah, you have to be smart to evolve too. You know, you have your standards and you have your experience, but then you also have to be flexible enough to evolve with the latest technology. You may get some fancy camera in there that allows you to just record 24/7 no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, I don't know really why I wanted to do this one, but I think it was just a good one to walk through a little bit of what we've been doing over the last several weeks. Both have been busy, and you got to make yourself busy. You know, you got to create those habits and be disciplined about it and get them done. So I hope you picked up something from this, those that are listening. If you have any feedback, or, you know, leave it in the comments. I put Jeff's link to his website, which is performancefirst.us. No, performance. Sorry. Performancefirstus.com. There you go.
Yeah. There you go. Or StuSmithFitness.com.
There you go. Yeah. So sorry, I butchered that. So anyway, the correct link will be in the description for this video. So
yeah, if you guys have any like training inquiry, right, email the website and you will get an answer again, because a lot of people are gonna have questions. Like I'm getting, I was like, well, how do I come train there? It's like nothing's really changed, except for if you are like a department or a small group and say, hey, I want to bring my guys out here. Because we've had that inquiry already from small departments from across the country going, hey, we want to send a number of police officers out there, firefighters or tactical athletes in a small group to kind of take part into it and then bring that back to their department to share. Because that, I think that's the thing too, is whether it's you or me, you're never going to get 300 police officers to come to a clinic. It just can't work. Mm. But and that's why I tell people, is like create a pilot program with willing individuals that can come, evaluate, assimilate, and then they go back to their department and share with that department because they understand the needs of that department. Right. Mm. It's like, I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that unless we went to that department, spent a couple weeks with them, evaluated the best we could, then try to create a training program that best suit them. That would be really, really hard as well. So that's kind of what our hope is we can get. That's where that extension of education and knowledge comes from, is you bring a small group in, just like we've done, you and I have done together on our clinics, right? Then they go back home, they implement what they can and go from there.
Nice. All right, folks, performancefirstus.com. That's where you can see all these great things that Jeff is putting into his videos, and StuSmithFitness.com.
Pick up the new book.
Yeah, get the book.
I will be.
Yeah, book and ebooks. And yeah, they're available. So thank you very much, Jeff, for your time. And everybody, thank you for listening. We'll see you later.